You're listening to The Shiny Sofa, the official podcast from Latex 24/7, the premier online magazine dedicated to latex fashion news, reviews, and interviews.
Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of The Shiny Sofa. Coming up on this show, we talk about latex at the Brits, those must-have gloves, and we say goodbye to yummy gummy latex. Joining us today is latex designer Elisa Poppy.
So to me, it's very empowering and a bit of a confidence boost, actually. It just is quite freeing.
So take a seat on the sofa, make yourself comfortable, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, via latex247.co.uk.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for episode number 2 of The Shiny Sofa, latex fashion podcast brought to you by Latex 24/7. Each episode, we welcome special guests to join us, and I'm super pleased to say that today's special guest is Elisa, who is the owner and designer of Elisa Poppy Latex, who's well known and probably best known for her incredible latex designs, many of which have been worn by celebrities, including Addison Rae and Paloma Faith, a little mix just to name but a few. Thanks for joining us, Elisa. Really appreciate it. It's good to have you here.
I'm excited.
Fab. Must do. Yeah. You had a good week? Looking forward to the weekend?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a busy one. There's been a lot going on this week. So I would love to say that I'm looking forward to the weekend, but I think I might also be working this weekend.
So here at The Shining Sofa, we like to find out a little more about our guests and what makes them tick with a segment of the show we call
The Quickfire Round.
We have a huge list of questions which we feed into our random generator, and our guest has 60 seconds to answer as many quickfire multiple choice questions as they can before the time runs out. So, Elisa, are you ready?
I think so.
Fab, let's go. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Read a book or watch a movie?
Watch a movie.
Flowers or chocolates?
Chocolates.
Camera shy or camera hog?
Camera hog. Oh, I don't... Yes. Yeah.
City or country?
Country.
Indoor or outdoor?
Outdoor.
Hair up or hair down?
Hair down, but it's up all the time.
Swim with sharks or dolphins?
Dolphins.
Christmas or birthday?
Christmas.
Ice skating or rollerblading?
Ice skating.
Be famous or be rich?
Be rich.
Instagram or TikTok?
Instagram.
Pool or beach?
Beach always.
Travel back in time or travel to the future?
Back in time.
Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings?
Oh, Harry Potter.
Ketchup or brown sauce?
Ketchup, always.
Burger King or McDonald's?
McDonald's, that isn't even a question.
Heels or flats?
Heels.
So the sound of that zipper means that time is up. Congratulations, you've got 18.
Thank you.
Joint first place. Well done.
Go again. I know we haven't lost, but...
Well, you'll have to come back on again, won't you, and try
like
a second time
round.
So let's take a look at some of the recent latex clothing and fashion news stories which we've covered in the last month or so. First of all, we'll start with the sad news of the closure of Yummy Gummy Latex, a brand that's been around now for pretty much a decade, started by Rebecca Allsop, became very prominent in the community, in the industry, for the unique handmade latex sheets, which were in an absolute myriad of colours, tie-dye, you name it, chances are Yummy Gummy have designed it. But of course, they also then started to move into the kind of ready-to-wear and custom latex designs. And I think it's probably fair to say that Yummy Gummy have had a a real big impact in the last few years in terms of taking latex clothing and making it more of a publicly known and a publicly accepted garment and material. Think they'll be sadly missed, Lisa?
I think as designers, we're always kind of like looking out for what we can do that's new. And I think that Yummy Gummy obviously offered people an alternative to obviously block colour latex, which is exciting. That's brilliant. But to see that go is obviously really sad. And I hope that we can try and see if there's a wave of bringing some creativity like that back into the industry, because I think it's a way of us to progress, to kind of expand our horizons. And that obviously gave different designers more of a way to stand out.
Definitely.
So it's sad, yeah.
Yeah, it's it was a pretty emotional goodbye from Rebecca when she posted on her Instagram. But yeah, she'll be sadly missed from the industry. And I know she mentioned that she's got the next stage of her life to think about. So we wish her well with that, really, and hope that she's successful in that as she was with Yummy Gummy.
Yeah.
Next, we covered a couple of points this month about the Brit Awards. One of them, which actually included some of your fantastic designs.
That was a busy weekend, let me tell you.
So, first of all, there was a performance on stage partway through the Brit Awards, featuring a number of artists: David Guetta, Becky Hill, Ella Henderson, Sam Ryder, and the backing dancers wore a combination of Atsuko Kudo and Elisa Poppy. They wore, well, do you want to take us through what they were, Elisa?
So we got an email from the stylist not that many days before the print. for swimming hats, and there was a lot of back and forth, but in the end they wanted, I think it was 18 blue and 14 white swimming hats.
Yep.
And they were very specific with the blue ones where they wanted the holes, because there was a load of braids coming out of them, which was just super cool. Don't think it was very practical if you're actually going to go swimming. So I actually hadn't made a hood before. So I love a challenge. I had a friend in to help me make that amount of hats. So props to her, she's brilliant. But yeah, we got through it. We made it to the other end with minimal sleep. That was a very long weekend, but we got them all made and shipped off. So yeah, thanks to the stylist for giving me that opportunity. Yeah. That was really great. And the performance, I think the white and the blue came out with Sam Ryder. Sam Ryder nailed it.
No, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, it did look incredible with the red, white, white and blue.
I styled them so. I can't remember where they got the jumpsuits from. I think it was Maison Close. I might have that wrong, but they were PVC. But with the red and the Atsuko hats, it looked so good.
Yeah, definitely. It was perfect color combination and
yeah, it was really good.
The puffer jackets and everything that were worn.
I wanted one of the blue ones. I wanted to ask where they got them from. Maybe I should ask. That's so cool.
Most definitely, fab. So, sticking with the Brits, The other big news from the event was the. Divisive outfit worn by Sam Smith. We had
Many a meme were made.
Yes, most definitely. We saw a very a very mixed bag of people absolutely loving it, and also a mixed bag of people wondering what the hell is that. So this was designed by Harry, who's an Indian designer.
Yeah.
Predominantly known for his balloon pants, so they are actually inflatable latex. Harry's been at the London Fashion Week on a couple of occasions. In fact, he was there last week with his latest collection. What's your thoughts? Is it inflatable latex?
Creativity for me. I love it. Like, just thinking about the structure, how he made it, is like mind blowing to me. I'd love to see Sam being blown up, but you know what I mean? Like the air being put in. I'd love to see that process. So for me, just based on creativity, my hat tips to you, because that is wild.
Definitely.
It's great. I'm not sure how practical, but it's great.
It's
bad words to say.
it's another feather in their hat, isn't it? The versatility, the latex, and how unique it can be.
No, it doesn't matter if everyone likes it or not. Like, you can't do that with cotton, can you?
Definitely not.
So it has its uses.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Fab. And last and certainly not least, another one of your busy week for you. Another one of your designs was featured in the Sunday Times Style magazine. It was a red opera glove. I believe it was the Amiga opera glove, and it was actually on the front cover of the magazine.
It was. I've now created that. That is up there with one of my greatest achievements, because I have read that magazine since as long as I can remember. Like, it used to come every Sunday. My mum used to always get the Times to the house. I religiously, they used to have like a hot or not section inside the front cover.
Yeah.
Lived my fashion life through that hot or not scale. It was great. That is now pride of place. I bought several copies just in case something went wrong with one of them. But yeah, you should have seen me come out of the co-op. It was newspaper. Sunday Times newspaper is quite expensive now.
play it back on expenses. It'd be fine. Yeah,
yeah.
The actual article itself that you were featured in was to do with new fashion and trends. We've covered on Latex 24/7 several times. In fact, we talked about it on last month's podcast about gloves and how they are just this season's must-have accessory.
Press at the moment, I cannot send out enough gloves. Like, honestly, it's insane. It's skyrocketed, which is only a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's another way people are working it into garments. We saw, I can't remember, I think she's called Shy Girl. I might have that wrong, but we've just been tagged from, let me look it up for you. She's just worn this beautiful Valentino couture gown with some of our opera gloves, which is so cool to me, because again, it's bridging the gap between latex and like mainstream fashion. I think it's great.
It's just adding that little extra tiny little touch. Yeah.
You know? The gloves just forever popular.
Fab. Cool. Well, long may it continue.
Yeah. Yes. I've just ordered some new colours as well, so I'm excited about that.
Cool. Exclusive, yes. Folks, you heard it here first. This
rainbow colours in there soon.
Well, that'll be amazing. Well, that sounds good. That sounds brilliant.
There you go.
Definitely look forward to seeing
that. Don't tell anyone. It'll be a surprise.
Fantastic. That's great. I think that's it for this month. For more latex fashion news, don't forget to check out latex247.co.uk frequently. And we'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to The Shiny Sofa, the official podcast from Latex 24/7. The premier online magazine dedicated to latex fashion news, reviews, and interviews.
Welcome back to The Shiny Sofa, a latex fashion podcast brought to you by Latex 24/7. Joining us again this episode is latex designer Elisa Poppy. Welcome back, Elisa. So, how did your journey into the world of fashion begin? Was it something you've always been interested in? Was it kind of a natural career choice for you?
I remember when I was in primary school and my mum, my birthday or something, got me a furry groovy chick notebook.
Yeah.
And on each page, it had kind of like a watermark of her in the background. And instead of writing anything in the notebook, I was drawing clothes on groovy chick herself.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I was always under no doubt that I would be going into something to do with fashion. It was always fashion design. And then it came to uni and picking what course I was going to do. And I stumbled across on the UCAS website just by chance a course called Contour Fashion.
Okay.
So that was the design of underwear, swimwear, and sportswear.
Wow.
So it's kind of a more specialized fashion design.
A bit of a niche area, as it were. Yep.
Yeah, it was very niche. I think my mum was concerned at the time because she thought it was too niche. But on further investigation, and I went to De Montfort to obviously have a day to look around.
Yeah.
The career opportunities coming out of that course were pretty incredible. You had girls going to Hong Kong to work for all sorts of well-known brands. At the time, the big one was Victoria's Secret, people in Stockholm, H&M, and all sorts. So I kind of like my eyes just opened to the world of lingerie because I think that's where my focus went to.
Yeah.
And yeah, from there, it was kind of a bit of a roller coaster, and I completely fell into latex because I loved the course, but it just became very technical. And I think in my mind going into it, it was all going to be like drawing and sketchbooks and doing like the nice side of design. But it kind of, and don't get me wrong, it taught me loads of things, but it was very kind of technical based. We did a lot of industry based projects, which was great. It's not a complaint.
Yeah.
I felt like creatively, you were kind of limited in a sense because you had five projects on the go at once and you had a specific brief that you had to stick to. So it kind of wasn't necessarily at that point what I thought it would be. And then I remember it was near the end of the second year, there was this project that everyone looks forward to. And it was called the Cabinet of Curiosities. And I remember it now
That sounds fun, yeah.
It was so fun. There was no brief whatsoever. And you could basically go as nuts as you wanted to go. And I actually modelled for the year above me when I was in first year. And I remember seeing the designs that were coming out. And I was just like, this is so cool. Like, I can't wait till I get to second year. So I think it got to it and I thought, what was the most controversial out there thing that I can do to like knock these guys' socks off? Like, what won't they coming? And I think the most outrageous thing that I could think of was latex. And I loved it. I fell in love with it straight away. I was laser cutting it. I was pleating it. I was painting on it. I was just like doing the most nuts thing that I could possibly think of, and it was great. I ended up doing this royal blue. I've got photos of it now, like it's in my cupboard. I love it. It's laser cut with like the flower of life.
Yeah,
it's like this, obviously it's plunge, it's just so delicate, and then it's got like little studs everywhere, and oh, I had so much fun. And then from that day when it hit the catwalk, I just kind of became a latex person. And it didn't matter if we were in front of an industry body of people. I was still doing latex the whole time. And I was just having, it kind of just brought out a more creative side to me that I'd been seeking from the course.
Yeah.
And then graduate collections came up, and that was a really stressful time. That was third and final year, and only half of us were going to get onto the graduate catwalk. So it was very intense, and you're working like crazy hours. You've got to come up with this 6-piece collection, and
I suppose that's quite good though, because that's that kind of high pressure environment is actually getting used to the world of fashion design itself, isn't it, really?
And it was like designing a new collection like I do now.
Yeah.
But way more intense, because you have, I mean, there's pressure always, but I think that's the first time you're really doing something like that. So it's really hyped up, because it's also how you're showing your designs to the world, because it's a graduate catwalk. Like, Vogue were coming to look at us, like all sorts of people were there, and it got loads of press, and I did manage to get onto the catwalk, which was great. I actually opened in, because latex is obviously very hard to put on sometimes. Which was great, because is when I came up with LaceTex, which is like my big thing that I came up with at the time. And also I was printing onto the latex with a guy called Rick in Leicester, and shout out to my printer, Rick. Like, he is the best out there. Love him to bits. But we found this UV reactant liquid latex and printer ink. The show opened and all the lights were off, and then the UV lights went on, and you could see all like the print on the latex and stuff. It was
amazing. Wow.
And yeah, like, it got on Vogue, and then people wanted to start buying things.
I think that was probably the first time that we sort of came across your work was that article. Was it in Vogue, the one where they were talking about your collection from university?
Yeah. It was so cool. And it wasn't just me. Like, it was all the other, like, all of my year was so creative, and we came up with such good stuff. Like, that was such a good day. Like, I remember I was just seeing all of our work come out, and we got to do, like, the walk around at the end, like, clapping and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was an emotional and really happy day. But I think at that point, when I saw kind of the reaction that we got, I'd always known that I'd wanted to do things. Like, for myself, I've never been that excellent at being told what to do. I'm a little bit rebellious, and I don't work for myself. So, yeah, it kind of just happened. I don't think there was one point where I was like, should I, shouldn't I? It just kind of became a thing.
Yeah, sounds like it was a very natural transition, really, from doing that at university and the cabinet curiosities and the catwalk. I can kind of see it on your face here, just the sort of joy and happiness that clearly brings you.
I think it's just like, it's definitely hard work, but it's always been very rewarding. And like, throughout the years, like, building the brand up more and seeing like different people that are wearing it and how far it has come from the early days to now.
Yeah.
It is something to be proud of, but also like, full acknowledgement to all the people that have helped me along the way. Most of all, my mum, who allowed me to be on her kitchen table for a year. Knowing my mum, she is like, her peace, her pride and joy is her kitchen.
Yeah.
And honestly, there was latex everywhere. So props to my mum.
Sounds pretty good to me, to be fair. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just fun.
So was that time at university your sort of first exposure to latex then? Was that the initial point at which?
Yeah. I think there was some girls on the course Beth Parkin in year three when I was in year one, I think. And I remember she did this amazing collection. It was purple and pink, and it had like a lot of ruffles on it. She did these massive collars, and it was just so cool. So I think that's the first time that I'd actually probably seen latex in person. And I didn't get to try any on, but just looking at it, it was pretty incredible. But yeah, a bit of a learning curve. I mean, I remember how I was actually constructing garments in the beginning, and I actually just shudder now because it was god awful. I don't know how to put that together. Now I'm a lot better, I promise.
It's like anything, yeah. It's like anything, isn't it? It's the case of practice. The more you practice, the better you get at it. And
yeah,
that's true in so many walks of life, not just careers. And but so you came out of university with qualifications, with the training that provided, and you started Lacey Poppy Latex back in 2017, I believe.
Yes, I'm so bad with dates. I think it's been about six years, maybe coming up to seven. I should probably have like an actual date that I actually celebrate. I think it'd be between six or seven. Yeah. I was about 20, I would have been 21. And the, 21.
Was that a nerve-wracking process? Was that a nerve-wracking time for you, or was it something that you were able to overcome because you were fairly confident, and I suppose what was your biggest fear from the whole thing, really?
I think obviously my biggest fear was failure, but at the same time I thought that if I don't do it now, when am I ever going to do it?
Yeah,
I think it would be harder down the line when obviously I had way more responsibilities now than I did then.
Yeah.
But I just remember I was on holiday with my mum and we were just walking down the beach and I'd been headhunted for ASOS to come in as a lingerie assistant designer.
Amazing.
And I went for the interview, bought all my sketchbook, everything. And this is before we went away. And the woman who interviewed me was absolutely lovely. And I was very upfront about what I wanted to do or what I was thinking of doing, which was starting the brand.
Yeah.
And she ended up giving me advice, but her advice was to work in industry, get some more experience behind you, and then go into it.
Yeah.
But something about it just didn't really feel right to me. It didn't really feel like that's what I was meant to do. So I kind of thought it's now or never.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back this holiday and start designing the first collection, which was the Primitive collection, which still to this day is a really popular one among our customers. It's all kind of a blur from there.
Well, think about it. You could have bought latex to ASOS there, couldn't you, for a split second?
Oh, we did actually. It's funny you should say that because about a year later, I entered one of their competitions for upcoming brands and I won it along with.
Oh, of course
Claire,
you did. Yes, of course you did. Yes.
Who used to run Hanger.
Yeah.
Really cool brands. And we both won at the same time, which is great because it was two latex companies winning together. So I was on there for a couple of seasons, but I look back on it now, and if I could do things differently, I definitely would. I think I was way too inexperienced to. I'd done wholesale orders before then, but if you go to ASOS, it's like next level. Like the requirement, everything that goes into it is absolutely nuts. So it would have been nice to have another year under my belt, almost to kind of. it happened, and it worked. But yeah, that was a stressful time.
I can imagine. It sounds it. When you were starting the brand and starting the business, did you take inspiration from other brands and designers in terms of running the business, in terms of what products to produce, maybe in terms of styles of those garments?
I think I came from it in a more kind of lingerie focused mindset. So I couldn't, obviously there was a lot of latex lingerie out there. There's some amazing lingerie out there. But for me it was kind of maybe offering something that was a little bit different, which is where the lace came into it. But there were so many brands that I looked up to. I mean, gosh. At Suko Kudo.
Yep.
It was a big one. I remember seeing that they did a fashion show, and I can't remember where it was or what year it was, but they had the red jumpsuit with the punched out holes.
Yep. I know what you meant. Yes.
I love that. Just all sorts of brands. There was Vex as well. That was a big one in America.
Yep.
Of course. And Stilius, obviously. I worked was at an internship at Kim West Latex, and Kim was great. She supported me when I graduated uni, and I was featured in her shop for quite a while.
Awesome.
Thanks to Kim as well. But yeah, you're just, there's such great creativity out there.
Yeah. I think that's one of those things that's fantastic about latex fashion, is that it allows the creativity to happen, doesn't it?
Because
it's such a unique material and such a unique method of production that it gives you that uniqueness that maybe you might not possibly get with other materials.
100%.
So I suppose that kind of leads us on to the question of, for those who don't maybe have an understanding of latex fashion and clothing, can you give us a quick sort of rundown of how you design and manufacture a particular garment?
So me, taking different inspirations from catwalks, obviously you've got London Fashion Week at the moment, things like that.
Yeah.
Textures as well, trips that I take, whatever else. Also, it sounds really selfish, but what I'd like to wear as well, make it for me. But yeah, I'll basically sketch that up. I will do a technical drawing of it, make a pattern, do a few fit sessions with different sizes to make sure everything's good. And in terms of making, everything is... well, a few chemicals involved. We have our cleaner that get rid of the talc on both sides of the latex, so the shiny side and the dull side. So you're laying one on top of the other.
Yeah.
And a line of glue. Typically, we work with 1 centimeter or 5 millimeter or 1.5 centimeter widths, but depending on what we're making. But on both sides, glue together. Rolled with a roller. These are actually for lino printing, but these massive Vitor here. I used to use wallpaper rollers.
Okay.
And these only come in certain widths. And I didn't realize that actually you can get lino rollers that go this thick.
Wow. Okay.
When it comes to layering latex.
Yeah.
Mind blown when I'm... It's just crazy when you think, like, I think back to how I was making things, but just me on a big ass table in my office making knickers daily. That is where you'll find.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yes.
What do you enjoy most about working with latex? What is it? Is it the versatility? Is it maybe the challenges? Is it overcoming those challenges?
It's very hands on. Like, I love a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm very competitive by nature. I mean, it's the material itself. And I mean, in terms of sustainability, it's brilliant.
Of course,
Which a lot of people don't realize. There's so many people that I talk to and they're like, but it's like plasticky, surely not. Blah, blah, blah. Like, well, sit down. Let me give you a little. But it's so versatile. It's can be worked into different outfits really well. And by outfits, like, I mean every day as well.
Yeah.
There's girls that are customers of ours that are going out in the mini dresses or wearing a mini skirt with a bralette top, or just like, it's so nice seeing people layering it into normal outfits as well.
Definitely, definitely, totally agree.
The more that happens, the more it becomes mainstream, which is super important. Because I do feel like it has quite a controversial kind of connotation to a lot of people out there, which is sad, but hopefully we're breaking the mold.
Yeah, and
that's,
I think so,
where I come from the beginning, is to try and make it as fashion forward as possible.
Yeah, I think that definitely comes across in your design, yeah, and your collections, that it's something that can be very fashion focused and you know, combined with other non-latex items.
Yeah, and you just, it's important.
And to us too, and to us. So your designs and your website, you sell everything from dresses, jumpsuits, bodysuits, skirts, yeah, bras, obviously you mentioned, yeah, accessories, gloves and so forth, which I'm sure we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
Which of those is generally the most popular items to design and sell? Are there frequent requests for specific garments or?
It depends if it's customers or press. If it's customers, then it's always top tier is the lingerie.
Yeah.
So that's your bra and knickers, obviously. But also I'm seeing at the moment the dresses and leggings picking up. I'm trying to currently, between work shifts, design more for our ready-to-wear collection, because that's really where the higher sales are coming from at the moment. And I have some new pieces that I just need to get production and haven't got around to it yet.
Awesome.
I will do.
Awesome. Look forward to seeing those.
A list that is like never ending.
Yeah. That list that gets longer and longer every day.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
You know that feeling. Yeah.
But I'll get there. But it definitely changes with the seasons. So obviously our peak season is generally September to March time.
Yeah.
And then the summer, there is a slight dip, but obviously we stay busy. But yeah, it is interesting to see how things change over the years in that respect.
Yeah, so I suppose just going back to what you said there about leggings, for example, you know, there's been a real trend and a real influx of,
yeah,
non-latex, but showing your leggings out there, aren't they, this season? So I suppose people are taking that next natural step from the other materials to...
It really annoys me when companies describe items as latex at PVC. Like, I can't tell you how much it winds me up.
Yeah, definitely a pet hate there. Yes, I know that one. Yeah. Yeah. Latex clothing means different things to different people.
Yeah.
Some people say it's empowering. Some people consider it to be outlandish. If you could describe what your latex fashion means to you, how would you, other than a career, obviously, how would you describe that?
Money.
Money.
<No. laughs> what does it mean to me? I actually find it quite comforting, and I know that sounds weird, but it just, to me, whenever I do wear it, it's just like a second skin.
Yeah.
So to me, it's very empowering and a bit of a confidence boost, actually.
Yeah.
It just is quite freeing.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. That's a common comment that gets made,
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I put friends in that would have never worn latex unless I was actually putting them in it. And they just say that they feel like superwoman, because it is quite, I don't know, it just does something where people are just like, oh shit, like
it hugs everything in the right place, doesn't it? And makes you look fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Love it. I'm a big fan.
Fab. Well, you touched briefly there about the two sides of the business, as it were, both the general consumer and the press side of things. It seems like not a day goes by, or at least a week goes by, where we don't see some image on your social media platforms of celebrities wearing Addison Rae, Monroe Burdoff, Doja Cat.
Bella Hadid, right? And Ella, I nearly cried.
Yeah.
My favorite model. I've been waiting for this moment for so long. But yeah. I actually, on my Instagram, I'm generally horrific at posting, and I need, that's something that's on my list as well that I need to improve on. So hopefully over the next couple of months, you will see that I am a bit more visible.
Fab.
Yeah. I will do better.
Well, we love what we see already. So
thank you.
How do those kind of projects with press come about? Does it, I can clearly see it gives you a level of pride to see those images being produced and posted.
Yeah. So in the beginning, I was handling the press on my own.
Yeah.
And that was just a bit of a nightmare because having the stock there to send out and then keeping track on the shipments and when it's coming back and then chasing stylists and getting the credits and getting the high-res imagery, like, it was taking up so much time. So it's actually around the time when I won the competition with ASOS, they gave us some prize money.
Yeah.
So I was able then to obviously get my office and to think about where I wanted to invest this money in. And part of it did go towards a PR company. So originally they were called HPR, but they're now called 223. And Stephen Lawton, who works there and now owns it, is literally, he deserves a medal. So much credit, because he's a guy that does what he says.
Yep.
That's what he does. Like, he's the most reliable. He's on top of everything. Props to Stephen. He's been really fundamental in me being able to get this press. And he was talking to me the other day about how many samples we actually sent out last year, and it was over 5,000.
Wow.
Like, in different shipments to people. And it'll be repeats of the same items, but the total amount in that year that was sent out. That was insane. So yeah, I don't know how he does it. I swear he never sleeps. But by doing that and being able to invest in that has just saved me so much time and been able to put me in front of people that maybe on my own I wouldn't have been able to get in front of.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, like, people still email me, but whenever anyone emails me, I just put them through Steven.
Yeah.
I'm just like, So, yeah, that's how that goes.
Well, going back to the other side then, the general consumer side. Moving on to those people that get to wear your amazing designs. How important is the reaction of those customers to you?
Very
important. And what's the best reaction you've ever had?
Best reaction? The best reaction's a hard one. I had a really great one the other day from a customer called Lauren, and she just sent me this really lovely email. And I remember that I was having, like, not a bad day, but it's just one of those ones that was, like, trudging along. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And she just sent me this lovely paragraph in an email just thanking me for what I sent her. And, I mean, I should be thanking her for annoyed with me, right? But she just loved the pieces, and it's just so nice getting that feedback that actually you're doing the right thing, it works what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that people enjoy and get pleasure from what you're sending them, right? And that's, like, the main goal. Customers are the fundamental part of the business. Without them, I wouldn't be where I am. So yeah, I like a nice email. If people want to send me nice emails, send them my way.
What would you say to somebody who is interested in wearing latex, who maybe hasn't tried it yet, maybe hasn't had the confidence to, maybe thought, do you know what? Maybe it's not for me, but they're interested. What would be your kind of advice to them?
If you never try, you never know, do you? Do you
True.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there thinking if you should, I think you regret it if you didn't. I think people may be worried that there's a slight stigma behind it, but who cares? I don't care. It's something that doesn't have to be out in the open.
Yep.
There's many street service, mine included. It's just, I think if you take it too seriously, then you're not having fun. I think if you come from it from a let's just see how this goes kind of point of view. Let's dip my toes. Why not? There's no harm in that. Do yoru. You'll be happier for it.
Very true.
You only live once.
What's the worst that can happen?
And you're going to look amazing when you do it. So.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah.
And I suppose sort of the way to tackle it really is start small, isn't it? Start with something that,
you know. Start with a pair of pants or shorts or like a little bra top, triangle bra, dead easy.
And combine them with other items that aren't latex, you know.
That's so good. I can't remember what magazine it was. It might have been Skull magazine, but it was quite a while ago. And they just put a black mini skirt of mine underneath this woolly jumper.
Yep.
And this girl looks so good. Like, so good. And it's just, I'm not saying that for your first time you have to put on a full jumpsuit and walk about on the high street. You know, chuck a bar on or some pants. See how you feel. Give it a whirl.
Get a pair of those leggings from you and
Yeah, fab.
we've mentioned this several times, but latex fashion started to become a bit more mainstream. It started to be worn more out in public. Celebs, music stars. Is that a trend that you see continuing? Is that a trend that you think will hopefully grow? Or do you think there'll always be a little bit of a niche-ness to it?
I think there will always be some kind of niche-ness to it. Not just because it's latex in itself, but also obviously it requires special kind of treatment in terms of care and storing and whatnot.
Yeah.
Which is why, I mean, I remember, I think it was House of CB used to be stocked in the Oxford Street Topshop. And I used to go around there and like look at the latex because they did some really cool latex dresses. And, like, they should be in garment bags, like they should be like something here. I think it's always going to be a special kind of fabric. I hope that this stigma I don't know what the right word is, but disappears after a while. I think it'll always be around, especially on the catwalks and things, because it is such an eye-catching fabric. Like, it is so different to anything else. I also love it. Obviously, I've mentioned before, for the sustainability, we've seen an increase in people kind of comparing it to as an alternative to leather.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that's kind of cropped up. Obviously, there's some colors that aren't vegan friendly, like the reds. But other than that, it's pretty safe for vegans, if that's something that people are concerned about. I'm just like, my main aim is to not make it as mainstream as possible, but to just get it out there more and give it a bit more of a name, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Just try and get it out there so that people know that it's an option for them, isn't it? It's not something that they should be worried about, I suppose. Yeah.
And it's also not just black all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, as much as I love latex, like, there are so, like, the swatches we have, there's hundreds of different kinds you can go for, but it doesn't have to be that kind of harsh color palette.
Yeah.
It can be whatever you want
it
to be.
Bright, colorful, cheerful.
Yeah, 100%. I love it.
If you could create a latex outfit for anybody in the world, who would it be and why?
Rihanna? Hands down.
Can you sort of describe the outfit that you'd design?
Oh, I don't know.
Without giving away too many insider secrets.
I don't know. I think it'd be... Ooh. So usually they give us an event or like a video, you know, like an inspiration board, and then you design from there. If I could put her in anything, it would be some kind of like corset, maybe with a bodysuit underneath, something a bit risky, but that she'd be able to pull off because it's Rihanna after all. Big jewels, definitely some lace, just very extravagant out there. Because if there's one person that's going to be able to pull it off, it's definitely her.
Sounds good.
My next.
Sounds good.
Well, she's on the bucket.
Let's hope Rihanna comes knocking at the door, and Steve can get you in there with the press. Yeah, yeah. Just going back to the business side of things a little bit, Lisa. What are your sort of next short term and long term goals for the business and the brand?
Question. Short term is get this new stuff out. Also in the ready-to-wear, I want to expand the sizes that we have already. And long-term, I want to expand on our private label services. So basically working with brands that aren't necessarily in latex and creating connections for them.
Yeah.
Under their own brand name. So that is something that I've been approached about quite a few times. I've done a little bit of work for people like Studio Pia.
Yep.
That's definitely something that I'm interested in, because it's really fascinating working with different brands and taking a product from conception to actually the final thing. And if brands that are working with, I don't want to say normal fabrics, but lingerie type fabrics are now expanding into, or looking to expand into, latex, and that can only be a good thing.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Completely agree with that. But I think that's a great place to end the conversation, and I think our time's up. So really appreciate you being with us today. Lisa, thank you.
Thanks,
that's
so
fantastic.
Much.
Do you want to just give everyone a quick reminder of where they can find you online and your socials and websites?
So my brand is called Elisa Poppy. It's a bit of a tricky name, but that is Elissa and then Poppy. Our website again is elisapoppy.com or .co.uk, whatever your preference is. And you can contact me Insta or through the website, like email. If you want to send me a nice email, is info@lisapoppy.com. I will do better on Instagram. That is my pledge to you today.
Fab. Well, we'll have you back on in a few months, and we'll give you a midget score and say how you're doing. Yeah. Fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you. Great speaking to you. I'm afraid that's all we have time for on this episode of The Shining Sofa. Many thanks to our special guest Elisa for being with us today. We hope you found The Shining Sofa comfy and will join us again next time. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcast, and be sure to head over to latex247.co.uk for all the latest latex fashion news and reviews.